Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Tonight we have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association coming up with us to discuss a problem they have with their homeowners association and the placing of political campaign signs on property. And I'm sure this is something that comes up in communities across the country every time there's an election. And then later on, Lloyd Bonafide, this man is a Korean War veteran who has some very pointed comments to make about Senator Kerry as we continue to follow the campaign. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I also want to tell you that we're going to have... apparently, we're going to have dance lessons tonight from a gentleman by the name of Chaz Workman. Now, David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication for our program, is on the line, on our newsmaker line. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Phil.
And you had an announcement you wanted to make to me, but you said it was a surprise announcement?
That is correct.
All right. You've requested the airtime. You are an executive in charge of our program. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to let you know and let your listeners know, Phil, that the letter that you read yesterday from Mr. Bill Timmons, the president of the Aladdin, in response to Michael Moore. You remember that letter?
Yeah.
It's fake.
What do you mean it's a fake?
It was on Snopes.com. The whole thing was dummied up.
I tried to tell him, Mr. Hall, he didn't say, he wouldn't listen.
You didn't try to tell me anything. What do you mean it's a fake?
It's a fake. Timmons didn't write it. And you read it on your show.
Oh, this is the big surprise announcement, huh?
I tried to tell him, Mr. Hall, but he...
You didn't tell me anything, man.
Yeah, I did. I told you.
You're the guy that brought... He brought it into me, okay?
Who did?
Bud, he came in and he said, here's a letter from Bill Timmons, who's the CEO of the Aladdin, and this is a response, and...
Well, you've got it posted on your website prominently, like it's the Declaration of Independence. You got it up there like it's the Magna Carta. You got to get it down.
Well, it's too late now. My webmaster's gone home.
Well, your webmaster's gone home. Well, you better get your webmaster out of bed. They're dusting the hot seat off for me. Every time you put something up on your website that's phony baloney, it reflects on me. Now, why don't you check this stuff out?
I tried to tell him, Mr. Hall, but he didn't...
You didn't tell me anything, you little squirrel. I'll get it down, David. You're sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. It was on Snopes.com. The whole thing's phony baloney. Start to finish, top to bottom. The whole thing is a big... It's a big to-do about nothing.
Didn't this guy Timmons write a letter?
I don't know. If he did, that ain't it. Jesus, man. Why don't you check this stuff out?
You got to spring this on me when I'm on the air?
Well, I think your listeners ought to know. You got that up on your website. It's been up there all day for 2 days. Here's the big response from Bill Timmons. What in blue blazes are you thinking?
I tried to tell him, ow!
Say that one more time, man, and so help me God, I'll throw you through this window, and there's two panes of glass there, too.
I just had that glass installed. Watch it. And don't talk about the tard that way.
Look it. He didn't tell me anything, okay?
It ain't up to a retard to tell you. You should know. Aren't you the host of the show? Last time I checked, it says the Phil Henry Show.
You know what?
You got something to say?
I saw the thing, and I thought it was real.
You saw the thing? Here's a guy that makes his living putting people on, right? You're up there yapping about Comedy Central ripping off your show. You ought to learn a little something from those guys. At least they know how to rip things off properly. You put it up there and go, hey, this is for real.
Well, how about if I say this? How about if I say it is for real?
Well, that's not going to work with me coming on and saying it ain't for real.
Yeah, but we could get them to believe that it's an actual real letter. And
what if Timmons sues?
He ain't going to sue me, man. He's the president of the Aladdin. He's not going to sue me. I'm small potatoes to a guy like that.
Well, you got that right. I don't know. If you want to leave it up there and have people think it's real, I don't care. But I'm letting you know, phony baloney from beginning to end.
I tried to...
All right, man. I'll have it taken down.
You got to check this stuff out, man. Now, did you call that guy I asked you to call?
Yeah, what is this guy, Gene Templeton?
Yeah, we're going to do wine tasting.
What is it with you, man? I mean, last night I'm you know, sitting in a chair out on the street, and tonight we're doing wine tasting. How do I do that on the radio?
Look, this show needs something, okay? Between you sticking up letters that don't exist and all the rest of the bullcrap that you're involved in, I gotta get something, a little entertainment value going on. Now, you're gonna do wine tasting, and you're gonna do it now!
His name's Templeton, huh?
Yeah. Call him up.
I'm in the middle of the show.
Call him up at a break. But I want the guy on. He's going to do some wine tasting. Chicks love it. You'll be tasting white wine, red wine, I don't know, Ripple, whatever the hell these broads drink.
Well, that's real good, man. That's really getting the women listening, these broads.
Oh, come on. Every time you point it out, it makes it worse. Remember, the audience is too stupid to hear what I'm saying. They only hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
I tried to tell him, Mr. Hall.
Thank you, bud. All right, that's it.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the goodbye, man. Get this guy Templeton on the phone. Wine tasting? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Tonight, of course, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Tomorrow night, we'll have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We also have Lloyd Bonafide. The man's a Korean War veteran involved in a situation that probably should have had the police involved. We picked it up off the wire service. We're going to talk with him tonight about that. And other things in store for you this evening. Updates on our, you know, contretemps with Comedy Central. Now, I got inside information on the buzz around there. Now, listen to this. Comedy Central, guilty of lifting whole premises, the entire premise of my show, and putting it on their air as if they created it. Now, this is what they're saying over there. They're saying, don't pay any attention to him. Act as if he doesn't exist. Just don't acknowledge him. Okay, that's fine. That's great. That's the word. There's people over there that I know, and they say, what they're saying basically is, don't even give him the satisfaction. Just pretend, we're television, he's ready, he doesn't... Okay, that's good. Great. You guys can do what you want to do. But one of these days, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, I'll be in a position to maybe be hiring some of you guys or firing some of you guys. So I'll remember. I'll remember. Don't pay any attention to him. Yeah. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, we heard that one before, didn't we? 1-800-449-8686. So, did you see any what is it called again? The Olympics? When they run around the track. Oh, yeah. Was that on last night? I didn't catch any of it. Is the diving all done yet? Because I can't stand watching that, man. I'm sure one of those guys is going to lose the whole top head part of his head on those diving platforms. When those guys... You remember when Louganis hit the diving platform? That was my worst fear realized. And when those guys are doing those spins and those loop-de-loops... But apparently, we're just kicking serious... rear portion, because here's what's up. The women won the soccer again. We're winning that 400 by 400 relay. Well, we're killing. Who needs basketball, man? We always ruled in track and field. And now, ladies soccer, all right. Ladies soccer? Now, do they have a women's professional soccer league, or does anybody care? No one cares. Nah, but no one goes to see it. Look, you know what they got to do is have a women's soccer league, but it only plays once every 4 years. Just, that's the problem. They have annual seasons. The ladies, if you want to, or women, or whatever you want me to say, if you want to have people be interested in the various professional sports that you do engage in, don't have an annual season like the men. That's boring. No one cares. But like, hey, it's 2010, time for women's basketball. You know, like once a decade. And then everyone will ever get, you know, excited, and we'll be up for it, and we won't go... Oh, really? The Minnesota Lynx. That's... Oh, did they win the whole thing? Well, isn't that nice? Ladies and gentlemen, presenting your Los Angeles Sparks. I went to some Sparks games. My wife is a huge WNBA supporter, and I've gone to many of the WNBA games. I enjoy the hell out of them. You're really getting your money's worth because they're out there. They're really working as opposed to, I don't know, you get the sense when these cats are making all that kind of jack that... Yeah, they could be there, maybe not. And tonight it's an off night, you know, 1-2-3 Cancun, all that stuff. But I've been to those. But when Maria was on the air up in Sacramento, she tried to actively support the Monarchs, which was their team up there. And she talked them up on the air, and she tried to get some free tickets to give away to fans. Man, they didn't want to know from that. Problem with the WNBA is the problem the XFL had in a lot of these leagues. They think they're big time, even though they're just starting out. You guys, if I was you in the WNBA or any of these new leagues, you should give tickets away left and right. Just pack the house, paper the house with free seats. What kind of money are you guys making from seats anyway? You're going to make it from the concession. Here's the plan. Start a new league and give everything away the first 5 years. And pay the players more than they pay them in the NFL. Now that is a business plan that is sure fire, man. Sure to set fire to your business. Well, at least let people in for free. Who the hell wants to pay to... Like, I'll go in, I'll buy a beer, but when a guy says to me, that'll be $50 for... No, I ain't going to do that. I'm going in here to watch what? The Minnesota Lynx? The Portland Box? I mean, what is this? The Seattle Curlers and the Minnesota... And everything is like a takeoff on the NBA team in town. Like, they had the Hornets, then they had the Sting. They had the Heat, then they had the Mercury. They had the Lakers, then they had the Sparks. Huh? The Women's United Soccer Association. What does that mean? The Women's United... It doesn't make any more sense than, say, for instance, the United States Football League. So I'm not putting it down because it's a women's league. Does it mean that they're united as opposed to divided?
No, it's their professional league.
Yes, I know, but they could call it just the Women's Soccer League. Okay, with the United... Oh, I get it. WUSA. Hmm.
Yeah, it's a...
Alliterative?
No. New York had the Knicks, now they have the Liberty.
Okay, now what sense does that make?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. What does that mean?
Knicks, Liberty, get it?
No, I don't get it. New York Knicks, New York Liberty. Why, the Statue of Liberty?
No, Nick.
As in Nick at Night? I don't get what...
I try to tell Mr. Hall about how dumb you are.
1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we'll be talking with Gene Templeton about great wines to drink. We also have more on the Kerry campaign with Lloyd Bonafide and Bobby and Steve Dooley. And by the way, this weekend they'll have the men's 10-meter platform diving, which basically means they're diving off of the top of a warehouse somewhere. I mean, holy God! They go way up to the very top of some... To the very top, like a cherry-picking crane. And now he's going to dive. And if the cat doesn't hit the water right, oh, look at too much splash. He's diving from six stories up. Who's the gal that does the diving? I learned it all from her. Too much splash. I said, see, there's too much splash, kids. Bad dive. And he didn't nail his ending. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley tonight at 8. Lloyd Bonafide also with us. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Don't forget the best of the, don't forget the Steve Bozell for President t-shirts available on our website at Why don't you slow down, Henry? At www.philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell, President 2004, vote for me or I'll sue you. Hot sellers, baby, you got to get one. Wear it all over the place for this coming campaign. And it'll kind of make the statement, you know. It kind of makes the statement that you get it. Yeah, you're going to vote, but hey, you understand that if you don't vote, if you vote for the wrong guy, you could get sued. I mean, that's where we're headed. All right, let me bring in Chaz Workman. I've been looking forward to meeting this gentleman.
Yes, you're here, Mr. Workman.
Hello.
Mr. Workman, how are you? And thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
In 2008, the Olympics will be featuring ballroom dancing. I never thought that ballroom dancing was an athletic event. Can you enlighten me on that?
Well, ballroom dancing really takes quite a bit of physical skill and energy. Ballroom dancing as a competitive event began quite... early in the history of our country, ballroom dancing has always been quite enjoyable for those who love to dance. But as a competitive event, it's quite athletic and certainly takes all of the physical skill, muscular control that for instance, figure skating.
I was going to compare it to figure skating, and so except you're not on skates.
Except you're not on skates, but of course the dance moves are different to that degree, but. Fortunately for you and for your listeners, I am quite good, and I wanted to demonstrate for you this evening the steps that I'm sure will propel me to the gold medal, because really what this is about is essentially letting people know that I am the premier ballroom dancer, and there are many pretenders to the throne, but...
Well, you're quite confident, huh?
I'm very confident, yes. I'm so good that obvious handicaps, which I hope you won't mention.
All right, I didn't want to say, but you're wearing a large, one shoe is bigger than the other.
Yes, that's right.
Is that from an accident?
It's something that I don't think we need to concentrate on. If you want to, I don't know.
Well, I just want to know. What is it from?
It's a club foot. But so what?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, my God, we've seen so many people who have suffered from some kind of a physical limitation do well.
Well, I'd appreciate if you not compare me to... you're talking about Jim Abbott, for instance, of the Angels, who had the one arm? And
well, Jim Abbott comes to mind. There's a great many others.
I don't see myself in the same category with him. I think I can be considered really with the best in the field of ballroom dancing, with or without my obvious club foot. And I only point it out because I know that sooner or later people will notice it and say, oh, well, isn't that great? But you'll hear and you'll see. You'll see how good I am as a dancer, regardless of that.
All right, well, we'd like to get you out on the dance. Now, we have a large wooden... Bud, do you have that?
Yeah, I got all set up.
Pardon my...
He's an interesting man.
Yeah, he is. All right, so we got a nice big dance floor out there for you, so...
Now, watch, please. The first steps I'll be doing will be mostly just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. These are what we call a waltz step. But then I'll move into some more intricate steps.
All right, here is Mr. Chaz Workman. And I forgive me for mentioning it, but you do suffer from a club foot. But he is a preeminent ballroom dancer and is going to be participating in the 2008 Olympics. It is a new sport.
Here's my music.
All right, let me just put this into the CD player. Let's listen now and watch. How do we listen to someone dancing?
Well, I'll describe my steps.
Okay, good, good. So your people will hear the steps you're doing described.
Absolutely, yes.
Here then, Mr. Chaz Workman with an exhibition of ballroom dancing. And forgive again...
Please don't mention the club foot, will you?
I'm sorry, I...
See, you keep going back to it.
Sorry. Here we go.
All right, now, you see that? You see what I'm doing here? This is... I'm just moving about gracefully on the floor. And now, 2, 3, 2, 3, see it? I'm just...
You seem to be flailing about.
I'm not flailing.
Okay. Right. Now, what are you doing now?
This is... Now, here's a full layout. Here's a full layout. And... Now the quick step. Here it is. You see that? There we go. Now, the rumba is a very nice dance, and you can see how... See?
Okay.
He's splintering the floor. What do we...
Just get some nails and some wood.
There. And now this is called a slow two-step. La 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 li li li.
Okay, you're cracking the floor. The floor is cracking, okay?
Well, you've got a cheap floor here.
I didn't put in the cheap floor.
Let me go get some epoxy. I can...
And now, of course, for the grand finale, watch this. This is my country swing step. Woo! 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 Woo woo! Yeah, you see? Just like that. Woo! All right. Kill it.
Well, that was very great.
So you'll be seeing that in the 2008 Olympics.
All right. Who's paying for the floor?
Well, don't look at me.
Well, I mean, I got to get down to brass tacks here, man. That floor cost, okay? Who's paying for it?
Screw you. I'm going to dance my way out of your studio. Oh, I love a good mambo. La, la, la.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Ruining the floor, man. I got that from the Boston Garden. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
So, Senator Kerry is slipping behind Bush in the poll. At least the LA Times has a poll that shows Bush ahead of Kerry by a couple of points. I never thought this Swift boat controversy would blow up in his face as it has, and I don't think it should have. I don't think that what these guys in this Swift Boat TV commercial, what these guys are talking about, is relevant to anything that he did in Vietnam. What he did in Vietnam, by all accounts, was totally above board. The guy earned what he got over there: Purple Hearts, Silver Stars, Bronze Stars, whatever he got. Bronze medals, silver medals, high jump, long jump, 440 relay. Whatever he did in Vietnam, it sounds as if it was earned. I will say at this time, as many other people have pointed out, certainly people much smarter than me, it seems curious that a guy's in Vietnam for 4 months and he has a whole camera crew with him. But in any event, no, but I mean, the guy had, like, have you ever seen so much film footage? I got one picture from a friend of mine in Vietnam, and he was sitting in a tank turret flipping off the world. I mean, he'd shaved his head, and he was just, as Lloyd would say, tossing a bone at the photographer. But I did say, and I remember I said this at Aspen when I was sitting there in front of all of those fine Aspen folk. I don't know how many people were at that, you know, that seminar I was at, Janice, in Aspen. How many of those people do you think were from Aspen, and how many of them do you think had flown up from L.A.?
I'd say the biggest percentage.
The biggest percentage of them.
Yeah.
And I got booed when I said this. I said the biggest problem that I think Senator Kerry's going to have are the comments that he made when he got home in front of the Senate, which was that the soldiers in Vietnam were rapists and murderers. And everybody kind of gave me the big bug-eyed stare, and they went, what? What are you talking about? Well, I'm telling you, it's happened. It's happened. That's what those guys in that Swift Boat ad are talking about, the comments he made in front of the Senate in 71, where he said, my fellow soldiers were, you know, like war criminals. So now that stuff is leaking into the mainstream media and to the mainstream attention of people, and he's twisting in the wind a little bit. So now he wants to debate Bush, and when you're leading in the polls, you never assent to a debate unless you perceive that it's hurting you, that the people want to see you debate the guy. In other words, if people are really wanting to see a Bush-Kerry debate, there's going to be one. Don't even worry about it, because Bush can't ignore that. Kerry needs one. He needs something. He needs something drastic now. He needs something that is going to show him, you know, in comparison to Bush, in a very favorable light. If he can top the guy in a debate, people can see this. They can see him thinking on his feet. They can see that despite the fact that there are some people criticizing his service in Vietnam or the things that he said when he got back, if they can see that the man is conversant with the facts and the issues and is able to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Bush on the information and on strategy and on how to, you know, affect changes in this country, it's going to help him out. But until Bush says, yeah, I'll do it, forget it. It's not going to happen. So for the first time, he's edged ahead of Kerry. He heads into next week's Republican convention with voters moving slightly in his direction since July, amid signs that Senator Kerry has been nicked by attacks on his service in Vietnam at times. But the other thing that's hurt Kerry more than anything else, nobody knows what it is this guy stands for. Honestly, really. Even if I was like a Kerry supporter. I don't, by the way, I'm talking like that. You know, we got a new affiliate in Denver. It's the Air America station. No kidding. You guys in Denver, don't worry about it, man. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to another stick. It's going to be a beautiful thing. You'll find out about it. We'll have it on our website. You'll know the signal and all of that. But they're going to be carrying a lot of the Air America programming. Some of the people, well, I only know one person from Air America, Randy Rhodes. I worked with her in Miami. She didn't like me because I took over the afternoon drive slot and they stuck her on the overnights, which is where they had me, so she hated my guts. It was nothing personal, Randy. And I was funnier than her. But anyway, so they're going to have me over on a Air America station? They're going to hate me. Everybody's going to be tuning into that station. Now I can hear Jeanine Garofalo and Al Franken or Franklin, some Jew name. And now Phil Hendry? What? Oh, no, 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 no. Be like Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. No, no. If you want to know what Air America listeners are going to be doing when they hear me in Denver, just imagine Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. No, no. Beating their fist into a cement floor. So, honest to goodness, what's the cat saying? I finally figured it out. It's Bush Light. Remember I told you? This December, the choice is clear. Bush or Bush Light. It ain't a beer. It's weird. It's either Bush or like a watered down, slightly sort of just you know, kind of tinkered with version of Bush. I mean, seriously, the cat's thing in Vietnam or in Iraq is going to be Bush, but it's going to be kind of Bush light. Well, we'll get the troops out in 6 months. We'll be a little bit more sensitive in terms of how we deal with the terrorists. Well, you know, but it's going to be the same. What are you? How more sensitive? Are you going to say please when you arrest them? Are you going to, I don't know, like give them another chance or something? Well, I know you flew the plane into the Eiffel Tower. That's not a problem. It's the Statue of Liberty we're worried about. The Eiffel Tower, we could give a sweet, good GD, you know. But tell you what, Ahmed, we'll let you go.
Oh, thank you, sir. 1,000 thank you.
Well, you know, whenever a guy makes a mistake, whatever. I don't know. It's not going to be that. It can't be that. But what is it going to be? And like jobs. Okay. I'm all for it. How? Where? When? Who? What you going to do? You're going to give tax credits to corporations, but you're going to tax rich guys. The rich guys own the corporations. Oh, I dig. So the guy will be poor himself, but the corporation will be rich. But he can't live on that money anyway. He can only put it back into his business. He can borrow from his corporation, but he's got to pay it back. And if you tax the guy, he can't pay back the money that he borrowed from his corporation. So his corporation is going to be rich, and he's going to be living in a shoebox. Is that it? I don't get it. I'm trying to figure it out here. Then there's the thing about health care. Like, nobody's ever been able to figure out health care. Well, it seems to me we got to have health. Oh, man, I know about the health care thing. Well, I just think we need to have health. Yeah, we need to have health care. There you go. Hey, you identified it. We need to have health care. Now, what do you propose we do? Well, I think the doctors make too much. I know. Let's go on a Canadian model, okay? Hey, that sounds like a great idea. That's why Janice is living down here, man. She couldn't get her teeth fixed up there. You got to see Janice's smile. It's gorgeous. Courtesy of American dentists. I don't know. Joking. Well, I just think that the doctors should be, you know, we should regulate and this and that. And well, how do you do it, man? I mean, you get the AMA as a huge lobby. You got to get the American people behind it, right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, everybody, let's get behind it.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Okay, that don't work. Then there's the environment. Hoo-hoo! That's the best one. All right, let me see. I want to save the environment.
Good.
I also want oil for my SUV. Okay. I also don't want to drill in Alaska.
Now you're losing me now.
Well, just stay with me. I also want us to get out of Iraq, but I want to have oil, but I don't want to go to Alaska. Okay, there.
Vote for Kerry.
All right. So you want to make sure Alaska's pristine, but yeah, we're spending too much money on, you know, the caribou and everything, and this oil thing. Okay. Would you mind maybe not driving your SUV so much?
Why, you fascist? You trying to tell me how to live?
No, I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm suggesting that, well, why should I have to limit my lifestyle? The government needs to get behind some kind of a program whereby we have alternative forms of energy.
Right. All right. Let's force Detroit into making hybrid engines. Like, they cannot make anything other than a hybrid car after, let's say, 2006.
That's too much government interference into private matters of business.
Well, what do you want me to say to you, man?
You're the president. Think of something.
Wait, let's say we're in favor of government interference in small business.
Yeah.
That means I can force them.
Yeah, that's it. Let's force them.
Okay, so these cats are going to say this to me. It's going to cost a whole bunch of money to retool their factories to make nothing but hybrid cars. That means the new hybrid cars are going to cost that much more because they obviously have to pay. They have to pay for equipment, labor, etc. So the new hybrids that you've demanded are going to be, you know, inflated in terms of price.
Well, can't you do something about that?
I suppose I could force Detroit into limiting the price of the car, which means they're going to have union problems.
Yeah, I love unions.
Well, I do too, man. I'm a member of a union. But, I mean, where's the give, man? Where's the take? Where's the give? Where's the take? You know what I'm saying?
Look, you give, I'll take.
All right.
So, as long as you guys don't want to do that, I guess I got to go over there to Iraq and I got to kick ass and get some oil out of there. And, well, you're all the private, you know, the poor little Iraqi people. And I saw the Michael Moore movie and
I know. I could dig it. You know, it's bad. Wars suck. I hate it.
And all those brave soldiers fighting for nothing, fighting for oil.
Well, I don't think they're fighting for nothing. They're fighting for us. They're fighting for our interests. But let me just say that, who are you, Kerry or Bush? I forget. I think I'm Kerry right now.
Anyway, something to think about, huh?
I'm confused.
All right, so we got Bobby Dooley in a few minutes. Also tomorrow night, Ted Bell on The Phil Henry Show. As a matter of fact, we'll have Ted on in a couple of seconds, won't we, Janice?
Is Ted going to be with us? Okay, he's going to talk about coming on the show tomorrow night. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, Gene Templeton here, and it's time now for wine tasting for connoisseurs of wine who enjoy the very special kind of wine that we enjoy in our program. And along with me is my wife, Mary Templeton. Mary, we've got some delicious wines that I know that we discovered together on our trip to France last fall. What a great time.
It really was. The wines we're going to be talking about, the Mondavi, of course, we didn't discover that in France. We discovered that in California, but we drank it in France.
Well, that's because you carried it on the plane with you.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
A lot of people will write in and say, and let's get this on the table. We have a difficult time understanding a lot of the stuff that you're saying. Mary and I both have noticeable overbites. But that shouldn't stop any of us from having a wonderful time here as we taste. The French harvest is about to begin, and you know what that means, don't you? The delicious Beaujolais.
The Beaujolais comes from France. It has a wonderful fruity bouquet, of course. And the Beaujolais is only good one time a year. You want to get your Beaujolais in the fall. And,
well, I tell you what, let's have ourselves a cocktail right now, shall we?
Let's have a glass of this wonderful Beaujolais.
And then we'll have some of the Mondavi that you've had in your bag since we got off the plane.
I don't know. It's probably turned by now.
Well, here we go. Mm. Ah, bon appetit. Well, see, I got it all down the front of me.
Me too.
All right, I'll try and keep it in my mouth the next time. In fact, you might try that too. Anyway.
You know, that really is uncalled for.
I'm sorry, honey. Well, the first grapes of the French harvest were picked yesterday in the Côte-de-Provence region of southern France. After last year's early harvest, maturation and picking regained a kind of a normal rhythm. Ah, here's another wonderful glass of the sparkling. We have some Fetzer here from Northern California. Bon appétit. All right, so you spilled it down in front of you, too. I gotta get a shower.
Me too.
Wine Tasting with Gene Templeton can be accessed over Public Access Channel 53. Also on KCET Channel 28 Public Television for Los Angeles. Gene and Mary Templeton are paid wine connoisseurs.
You whore.
What did I do? That's a whole case of the Beaujolais. Oh my God!
All right, so is that something we're going to be doing? Is that something we're going to be doing every week? Two people with an overbite doing wine tasting? And he just called his own wife a whore? Wow. Wine tasting with Gene and Mary Templeton, and they have overbites. Who booked that, bud?
Three guesses.
Mr. Hall, huh? Unbelievable, dude. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Viola. Hi, Viola.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Good.
I got to tell you, you are some kind of funny man. You really are.
Thank you very much.
We are calling up about our granddaughter. We told you about Ashley last week.
I don't remember, man. Are you in an airplane?
I am, yeah.
Where are you going? Who's flying it?
My husband Hal's flying it.
Hi, Phil. You don't remember talking to us, huh? Hal and Viola?
I don't, sir. You're flying in the airplane right now, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We've got our own Piper Cup here. Just that guy up here to Laughlin, have ourselves a couple of blasts. Come on back tonight. We're retired. Hell, we're all over the place. We're retired.
Let me talk to you.
All right, here's Viola, Phil.
All right.
Phil, I called to tell you about Ashley. We were talking about peer pressure. and the beer brusher she has.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And we were reading about Nicole Richie, and that she had apparently been, apparently Nicole Richie had been addicted to heroin. Do you recall that?
I recall the news story.
Well, Hal and I had the idea that our granddaughter Ashley contact the Smack Mule and...
Let me tell the story.
What do you mean, contact the Smack Mule?
No, let me tell the story. Look, Nicole Richie, all the girls think she's wonderful, and we enjoy the program very deeply. But my idea was...
Why don't you fly the plane? Phil, fly the plane.
Well, you're not telling it right.
I'll tell it. We thought if we could get her a real good smack habit, that she'll feel better about herself.
Why? Because Nicole Richie did?
Well, yes, that's the peer...
Let me tell the story. You're screwing it all up. You're ruining everything.
Look at you guys.
You tell it.
No. Here's what we found. We're watching Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie. I said to my wife, well, look at that piece of tail. And that's the... I'd rip into that like yesterday's supper if I wasn't married to you. And she said, well, isn't that nice? And I said, and by the way, look at the track marks on her arm. And I said, maybe that's what Ashley needs. Because our grand... Her mother is not... Her mother... You tell.
Her mother, our daughter, God love her. I love her. She's not a very good mother. So if perhaps we could get...
What, she's not a good mother because her daughter doesn't have a junk habit?
Say that again, Phil, because he's talking to the control tower right now.
Yeah. I said she's not a good mother because her daughter doesn't have a smack habit?
Well, what I'm trying to say is how the young girls identify with each other. You know?
So this is the way you want to get your granddaughter to identify and to be feel as if she's part of the culture by getting a junk habit because Nicole Richie did.
No. So I just said she could contact a smack mule like one of these gardeners coming up from Mexico. These guys are coming in and trim your lawn. They'll bring up a baggie. What's the problem with that? You know, one of the things that I've often said...
You're going to stall out.
What? You're stalling out. Hold on for a minute, Phil. One of the things I said is that the Nicole Richie, who I have often... Oh, Jesus, you're right. We're stalling.
Did they call last week? I think they stalled out last week, too. They must be stalling out every week and then pulling it out at the last minute because they keep calling me. I don't know whether they're actually ditching that plane or whether they're stalling because they get talking so much and they don't switch the fuel over to the other tank and then they... Oh, yeah, and then they... 1-800-449-86... I do not think that's a good way for a young lady to feel accepted by her peers getting a junk habit because Nicole Richie did. Any more than I think you got to go out and get beaten up because Paris Hilton did. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley next on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association to get just a glimpse for all of us as to how the average American maybe... You know, you heard the poll results that I gave Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley that President Bush is inched ahead of Senator Kerry. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Phil, first of all...
Well, let me also welcome you to the show. Pardon my manners.
It's always good to be with you, Phil.
Good to be here, Phil.
I'm sorry, so the recent poll showing the president inching ahead of Senator Kerry, your comments from the standpoint of just tax-paying people?
I think the recent polls are showing President Bush in the lead, and I wanted to get some more information on that myself. And I know it isn't really the place of a homeowners association president to tell people how to vote, but in the case of the forthcoming elections, we all have concerns. I know many of your listeners have concerns. And the concerns that I have, I guess, are the concerns that any mother would have.
What are those?
Well, the possibility that our boys might be called into active duty in the military, that we could have sons going off to war. And when it comes to something like that, you know, a mother is very territorial.
So the meeting that was called at Western Estates was called by you?
It was called by myself and my husband, yes, who also is our acting vice president and secretary. And what you heard was not correct.
Well, what we were told was that you were telling people how to vote.
No, that is absolutely not true.
No, all right, but this is a Sarah and Jim Sinelia,
who are members of the Homeowner Association, you said that they said that you were there telling people that you needed to vote for George Bush.
No, that is absolutely, not only is it not true, it's I think in some sense libelous. We said to the assembled homeowners that we have three teenage sons. I have boys that we have a great many dreams for, and the election of George Bush, we think, will pretty much assure that those boys of ours will be sent to Iraq to fight for a war that no one, this war, no one understands or even knows about. And I simply asked everyone assembled that it was technically a hate crime. And I say technically a hate crime for any of them to have Bush campaign signs on their property.
Okay, now your Homeowners Association rules do not prohibit campaign signs within a certain period before the elections, correct?
That is technically correct. We do have that under review. Where the problem started was with one of our homeowners in the rhododendron phase, Sarah and Jim Sonelia. They have a son, and I want to be very delicate.
Watch how you say this.
He is not a very intelligent boy, and I don't mean to judge.
It's almost been honestly as if he's retarded.
But the boy, he was looking at me one day, and I told Sarah that I was not comfortable with her son looking at me.
What do you mean, looking at you?
He was looking at me, and it made me uncomfortable.
Wait, was he looking at you in a lewd or lascivious way?
I didn't want it to become that. I don't mind. Some of the boys look at me, and you're flattered by it. You know, there's the younger men and older women thing, and I'm flattered by it. But when her son looks at me, I'm not comfortable with it. He's not very intelligent. And, you know, and she became very rude. I mentioned it to her. And I told her, I said, I know that you want to vote for George Bush because she has a bumper sticker on her car. I said, you know that it'll send my boys to war and maybe die. And she said, well, so might her son. And I said to her, and I said this as a friend, and I even reached out, Steve, you were there?
Yes, I was.
I reached out and I took her hand and I said, don't you think it would be better for your son to give up his, I forget what I said, to sacrifice himself in a war than for my boys? If you look at the boys, look at her son, Adam. First of all, I don't like him looking at me.
I think there's something off with him.
Well, you don't want him looking at you. Was he? But does that necessarily mean that the boy should go to Vietnam?
It's obvious that there are some young people who are destined, I think, for some great things. My son, Dylan, has finally gotten his life together. Seth and Justin both are seeing Dr. Jim Hasselberry, who is one of the top adolescent behaviorists. But for her to have these Bush signs, I think is a hate crime. And then for her son to be looking at me.
He's looking at my wife, Mr. Henry.
No, I understand that he's looking at you, but boys, does he look for a long period of time?
I'm just saying I don't want it to start, that's all. And again, you're flattered by a lot of the young men's attention. There are a lot of the young boys in our neighborhood who enjoy looking at me, and I don't know. I don't concern myself with that. But it makes me uncomfortable when he looks at me. And that's why I said to her, don't you think your son going to war, first of all, it'll do two things. I think it'll put whatever's going on inside of him, it'll put it to good use. Secondly, my sons can fulfill their, I guess you could say, destiny.
All right, I want to get into this hate crime thing that you're talking about, Ms. Dooley. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley join me from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking tonight about Senator Kerry and President Bush. You are not a Bush supporter.
Absolutely not, no.
And because you feel that your sons will go off to war in Iraq if he's elected president.
Absolutely.
But by the same token, you're saying that if he's elected president, then maybe some of these Bush supporters' sons should go?
I think that if you're a Bush supporter and Bush is elected, then I think your sons should go, not my boys who have. And I'll tell you, Phil, I don't mean to say that young men whose parents didn't support Bush shouldn't go. But, you know, their son, Adam, who is about the age of my eldest son, Sarah and Jim's son, looks at me in a way that I'm not comfortable with.
Is this about you not liking the way this kid looks at you?
I'm not comfortable with it.
I'm not comfortable with the way he looks at my wife.
Do you want to send this boy to war because he doesn't look? Because
no, absolutely not, Phil, and not absolutely not.
That's not what it's about, Mr. Henry. What it's about is he's looking at my wife, and if they like Bush so much, why don't they go?
That's what we're saying, and I don't want him to get tempted. I said to her, "Look at your boy, look at my boys." When you do that, you can see it doesn't make sense to send my boys to war, but it makes sense in some kind of a way that really only God knows the answer to. It makes sense to send him.
All right. Why is it a hate crime to put Bush signs on property?
It's a hate crime technically because it is hateful to those of us who do support Senator Kerry.
But what about the idea of free speech?
This is a private community, and so technically this is not public property.
But a person's property is their own property.
That is true, but we do have rules and regulations pertaining to our homeowners association that are administered by me, the president of the homeowners association.
And so you can arbitrarily say you don't get to have Bush signs, only Kerry signs?
I do not do it arbitrary, Mr. Henry. I do it trying to protect my family, trying to protect other families. The Senelia boy has been looking at me. So
the Senelia boy's been looking at you. His parents are Bush supporters. So you feel that they should send their boy off to war and they shouldn't put Bush signs up?
I'm saying that I am uncomfortable with him looking at me.
And so the boy should go off to war in Iraq?
I am saying there are some things in life that some of us are suited for, yeah. And
it's either that or they send my boys off. My eldest son's just getting his life together.
Did your oldest son have some trouble?
No, he did not, no.
Well, you say he's finally getting his life together. You mentioned your two younger sons are going to a behaviorist?
They're going to Dr. Jim Miller. He's one of the top adolescent behaviorists, yeah. And they're really, really doing great.
Well, why did you have to send them to him?
You know what? That's really not the point.
No, why did you have to send your boys to a behaviorist?
Because they'd gotten into some problems. Every boy does. They had done some graffiti.
They dumped some swastikas on a Jew temple, and I told them that was wrong.
Well, the term, sir, is synagogue.
Right?
The term is synagogue. Had they spray painted swastikas?
They had done some things that adolescent boys do, but they are doing so good now. And to see them go off to Iraq and have their heads, I love my boys very much.
I understand that you love your boys very much, and I'm not disputing that. I want to know why it is that you feel it's hateful for other people to support Bush when you support Kerry.
Because I don't want my boys to go to Iraq and have their heads cut off the way that young man did.
We don't want our boys to go home from Iraq and there's no head on it.
We are worried about a lot of things.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We get to a call, and we'll take a break here on the Phil Henry Show. We're with Bobby and Steve Dooley. This is Zach.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Zach.
Miss Dooley, I don't mean any disrespect, but, why don't you pack up and move to Canada tomorrow? Because the last time I checked, this country was founded on people having equal rights and equal responsibilities. And the key word here is responsibility.
Are they allowed to stare at me?
Are
their sons allowed to look at me?
I'm sorry, my phone broke up there. I do not understand how you can say that the retarded boy's life is less important than your son's life. That's absolutely
ludicrous. I didn't say that.
Ma'am,
I said
he did not say that directly, but that's exactly what you implied, and that is asinine. This country requires responsibility and sacrifice.
This country requires people to do...
the thing they are required to do, which sometimes means go off and die. Good people die all the time.
All right, now, you said, Ms. Dooley, you think that young man is more suited for the Army?
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong to say that young man is more suited for a life in the military. And
why? Because he looks at you?
I don't like the way he looks at me.
Okay, can I speak to that? You just said yourself, boys do what boys do. I'm sure the synagogue didn't appreciate the spray paint on their walls.
That's a boyish prank.
Boys do what boys do. I've got two of my own that are adolescents, and they look at women from time to time. That doesn't make them a rapist. That doesn't make them anything bad. They just do what boys do. So that being said, I guess both the boys are equal, correct?
No, because this Senelia boy is... He's not very intelligent.
He's almost
you know what? What is it? Screw the intelligence thing. That has nothing to speak to the
do
fact
you
of what
want,
he's looking at.
Do you want to have a retarded man looking at your wife?
Wait a minute. It doesn't matter.
I do not want a retarded man to fondle my wife.
You didn't say that he was retarded, Ms. Dooley. You said he's not very intelligent.
Well, he doesn't. He makes me uncomfortable when he looks at me.
Then don't be around him. But the fact of the matter is, just because he makes you uncomfortable doesn't make him any more of a candidate to die than your son.
Absolutely. So, to send a boy off to war because he looks at you...
No, because his parents support Bush.
Yeah, his parents support Bush. That's another thing I'd like to address. This is a free country. I don't know what your homeowners association requires and doesn't require, but the fact that these people put Bush support signs in their yard does not make them committing a hate crime. You can put
hateful
support. It's not hateful.
It's hateful.
How can you say that? You cause so many freaking problems. People like you that look at stuff like this and can't understand that this country was built on the right to express an opinion.
I don't like the way it looks at my wife.
All right, look at...
Okay, sir, you know what? I can appreciate that. I don't like the way people drive. That doesn't make them, you know, candidates to go die, and I sure as hell can't get them off the road. You do what every other American does, and you deal with it.
All right, Zach, thank you for your call, man. 1-800-449-8686. I have to move along, but those are good comments by that gentleman. What about just dealing with it?
You know something, Philly? I'm a woman. You're not a woman. That gentleman was not a female. You ask your female listeners what it's like to have a boy who isn't all that intelligent looking at you.
You said you're flattered by the other boys in the neighborhood who look at you, and I've never seen you, Ms. Dooley. I take it you're an attractive woman.
You know, I work out a lot. Steve and I are in the gym. Yeah, I take care of myself. Men do notice me, yes.
All right, young men as well as old men.
And I don't mind most of the young men. This boy, I don't like the way he looks at me.
Yeah. Because he's not intelligent is what you're saying. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They are banning Bush signs because they feel it's a hate crime against anybody who supports Kerry. And on top of that, she doesn't want Bush because she's afraid her boys will go to war. And if boys are going to go to war, then it might as well be the boys of parents who support Bush, including this couple, Janice. I think you got the name Sarah and Jim Sinelia, who have a son that Ms. Dooley says is almost retarded and looks at her in a way that she's not comfortable with. 1-800-449-8686. This is America as we lead up to the elections this fall. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten her children? Have you seen them lately?
Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line, Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on this fall's elections, Kerry versus Bush. Ms. Dooley, you are, and your husband both are Kerry supporters. You've talked about a young boy in the neighborhood who is the son of some Bush supporters that you feel is better suited for Vietnam, or not Vietnam, forgive me, I'm showing age all over the place here, for Iraq than are your sons who you think have some special destiny.
You know, you make it sound as if I'm being arrogant, and I'm not, Phil.
Well, frankly, the comments you make about how you don't like this boy because he looks at you...
I'm not comfortable with the way the boy looks at me.
He's a little bit pan-faced, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry?
A little bit of a pan-face.
What does pan-face mean?
He has... I don't know that the boy is retarded, but he has... The look of
what difference does it make if he's retarded, not retarded? He looks at you. You say you're attractive.
I don't mind the other boys in the neighborhood looking at me. My youngest son had over some of the junior high drill team members as well as their varsity team, and the boys were looking at me, and I noticed it. It's flattering, but this boy, whose parents are Bush supporters, by the way, and would like to see all the young men of America sent to Iraq and beheaded.
Oh, Ms. Dooley, don't be absurd.
No, I'm not being absurd.
I think you're over the top with the beheaded thing.
Well, then let them send their boys. And why do they put their signs in their front lawns? It's hateful to me. And then her son looks at me.
So they put signs in the front lawns and her son's looking at you, and he's a little bit pan-faced, is the way you said it.
That was the way my husband put it, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Shelby. Hi, Shelby. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to make a comment. I have a nephew who has Down syndrome.
Is he pan-faced, ma'am?
Pardon me?
Is he pan-faced?
He has Down syndrome. Have you ever seen someone with Down syndrome?
Well, my husband's asking, is he pan-faced?
Okay.
They have a slight...
Yes, he has a disfigurement of his face, yes.
A pan-like
my
face.
Point is
Can
this.
We not
my
say
point,
pan-faced, please?
My point is
understand.
This. Okay.
Go ahead, Sean.
That doesn't make his life any less valuable than your son's life. I love him with all my heart.
Well, Shelby, think of what you're saying. Are our soldiers valueless? Of course they're not. I think he has great value. I think he has value fighting for our country. Whereas my sons, I think, have more value doing what they will be doing, which is building businesses, you know, owning a
you
home
know what?
And this.
That is ridiculous. And furthermore, I'm a 21-year-old married woman, and I've had men look at me. I don't care. If they look at me in a way that makes me uncomfortable, at least they're not violating me. They're not touching me. That's the bottom line.
Has this boy looked at you a lot?
I don't want it to start, that's all.
So he looked at you once?
I don't know if Shelby has ever experienced a pan-faced individual looking at her. It
I think pan-faced is a really ignorant
yeah,
term
I
in
think
the first place.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
The bottom well, I, line is, my point is, I know you love your sons. I have 6 nephews, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I love them with all my heart. I don't mm-hmm. have any of my own children. They mean the world
well,
to me.
But you know the fear that I'm feeling. I don't want my boys to go over there. They'll come back. I know they'll find them.
And ma'am, I mean, honestly...
And the soldiers are trained. The soldiers are... In the year that we've been in Iraq, we've lost not even 1,000 men. It's a terrible thing when men die, but they're trained, they're protected, they're good fighters.
Then let... I have an idea, and I don't know if, Shelby, if you can even relate to this. If you took all of these people who are like your nephew and like maybe like this other boy, can you imagine all of them running up a hill with guns and... To me, that would be frightening to the enemy.
Well, let me tell you this. My husband
God.
Is 23 years
All
old,
the pan-faces coming out.
And if he had to go to war to fight for our country, that would break my heart. But you know what? It would be honorable.
Yeah.
It would be honorable.
You're talking like the soldiers don't have value, Ms. Dooley. You're the one, not Shelby.
No,
and
I am not.
As far as people being beheaded, I mean, honestly, of
oh
all
my
the
God.
Men that are over there fighting for this country,
soldiers
think
the last
about
ones,
how
yeah.
many have been beheaded.
How many, Steve?
About a half a dozen.
That's 6 too many.
It is. I
All
agree,
right.
and I was appalled. I was appalled yeah. by that happening.
Shelby,
but
thank you
the
for
the bottom line is it's not everybody.
Thank you, Shelby, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley would rather see the sons of Bush supporters go to war, not their sons. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Back with Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. How a homeowners association gets involved in how people vote in the November elections is what we're talking about. Ms. Dooley, you have classified anybody who puts a Bush sign under the front lawn as committing a hate crime. You've heard people talking, and it's very, very extreme, correct?
So I understand. I am not saying hate crime in the sense that it's a racial crime. I'm saying it's very hateful to endorse George Bush knowing that I've got 3 wonderful boys who have so much to add to the world.
There are a lot of young boys that have a lot to add to the world. Your boys spray painting swastikas on synagogues, I would think the military might benefit them.
Oh, you got it way up.
So in other words, my boy goes, but Sarah and Jim's Amelia's son, who looks at me the way he does, and
you said the kid glanced at you once.
I get a very, no woman likes to be looked at.
You said it doesn't bother you when other young boys look at you, but you don't like it.
I don't like him looking at me.
So send him to Iraq.
You keep saying Vietnam, it's Iraq.
I understand, I misspoke.
Yeah, my husband said it's Iraq, it's not Vietnam. And
I understand, I misspoke.
I'm sorry?
I misspoke, I heard what he said.
But you said Vietnam.
I know that, ma'am, and I said I misspoke. I understand that.
So I will tell you that millions of Americans are afraid. Right now, if you have to hear the television, we have to get our news from Al Jazeera because we can't trust the Bush-controlled media. I will not listen to the Bush-controlled media that would send my boys off to war while this young man who looks at me looks at me when I bend over in these things.
Well, you might as well say it, and who's pan-faced.
All right, yes, he is.
Gets to stay home and be pan-faced and look at women.
I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, you might as well say it, Ms. Dooley, because that's the intent of your comments. Stephanie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. My comments are directed mainly at Ms. Dooley. I'm a Kerry supporter, too, although I am more conservative in my politics. But, I mean, I don't like Bush any more than you do. I hate Bush. I despise Bush. But your attitude towards banning Bush signs, I don't even like seeing them, but we got a thing in this wonderful country called the First Amendment.
I understand that, but this is a private gated community. We live behind gates, and maybe you don't understand that.
I do understand that, but anywhere
do you
in
live
this nation.
Do you live behind gates?
No, ma'am, I'm lucky I don't.
No, living behind gates is wonderful. It's just wonderful. And
yeah.
Have you seen Al Jazeera?
Yes, I have. I don't really much care for it.
Well, I'll tell you, as long as the Bush administration lies to us.
Oh, I'm very aware of that.
We're going to have to get our news from them.
I don't.
Have you ever been looked at by a young man?
Yes, I have, and I am also a sexual assault survivor, so I know all about the feeling of being uncomfortable.
Okay, so you don't like, I don't like having, especially a young man who's, Steve and I both, would you say the boy's eyes, nose, and mouth are all within about a 2-inch square area?
Well,
you know. Now, if you
I've had young men like that look at me. I just ignore them and go the other way.
Have you ever had a boy look at you as if he's got chlorine in his eyes? It's very scary.
I don't want the boy looking at my wife.
Well, why don't you go talk to his parents?
Yeah, is he staring? What I'm getting from this, though, Stephanie, he doesn't look at you all that much.
I don't want to get him started. I am an attractive woman.
Well, I know
Once
that.
A woman like me allows a boy to look at her, the boy looks me up and down.
Well, he sounds... Well, so
you
just
see,
gathering
you sound,
from, what you, from you your opinion.
You don't sound familiar with the things I'm talking about, though.
I just caught your comment, and I really felt compelled to reply. I'm just getting the point, okay? I can understand where you don't want to send your boys over to war, but I'm going to tell you something. My grandfather and my father-in-law were both in World War II fighting Nazis.
Why?
And
I thought you were a Kerry supporter.
Kerry supporter.
Well, then why would anybody in your family go to war?
At one time, Democrats did go to war. In World War II, they went to war. Roosevelt was a Democrat.
Yes. Well, I don't understand.
Why did he go to war?
As Democrats, we don't go to war.
You're wrong.
Really don't get it. This may not seem strange to you because lots of boys in your where you live may have... Maybe they're not right. But we don't have a lot of the pan face here.
But you sound very eugenics-like.
Yeah, like you're into this whole,
And your attitude seems to be the exact kind that is what brought the Nazis to power back in the 40s.
How dare you? That is so...
My wife's not a Nazi.
All right, look, Stephanie, I understand what you're saying. I thank you for your call. 1-800-449... Are you guys watching Al Jazeera?
We've got a couple of news channels on you.
All right, let's go over to Doug on the Phil Henry Show. Doug, go ahead.
Oh, man, I cannot believe... I missed the beginning of the conversation because I'm on the road traveling and I like to listen to talk radio. Where does she live? What state?
I'm sorry?
What state do you live in?
I live in California.
Oh, okay, well, that says a lot. But there's a...
Where do you live?
I live in North Carolina.
Well, then you are far more familiar with the pan face than I am.
Oh my God.
Well, first off, that is probably for the year of 2004. That has to be one of the most ignorant statements I have ever heard in my life.
You're not a woman.
I am 36 years old. Being a woman has nothing to do with it. Let me explain this to you too. I don't care how hot you think you are. I have not seen you, but just because of your ignorance and the way you talk, you are the ugliest woman that I have ever come across.
That's a very good comment, Doug.
Let me explain something to you. There is more beauty in someone with intelligence than someone that spews ignorance like you do. You said your boys painted swastikas on synagogues?
It was a youthful prank.
I don't care because I'm also Jewish. And I've got a problem with that because my kids don't go around spray painting the Star of David on churches.
Well, why are you offended? I don't understand.
The man's
why
Jewish.
Why am I offended? I'm Jewish. What is the color of the sky in your world?
What has that got to do with what my boys did?
They spray painted.
Your boys painted swastikas. Do you know what Adolf Hitler did in the 40s and the late
30s? First of all, they're called swastikas, not swastikas.
Let me explain something to you. 5 million, almost 6 million people died. Because of that emblem.
I get out of my Escalade. I'm wearing my Juicy Couture pants.
I don't care if you get out of your 727. I don't care if you get out of your Hummer. What you need to do is take your boys,
Steve, turn it on.
And you need to give your boys a good whipping. That's what they need.
Well, in this part of the world, we don't give out, as you say, whippings.
And you know why? That's why your kid goes around painting swastikas on synagogues, because he has no control from his parents, because his parents teach him that it's okay to call people pan-face, his parents teach him that the government is going to go out, make them, force them into the military.
Not pot stickers. Swastikas is what the gentleman's saying.
Let me explain something else to you. The reason we got into Vietnam was because of John F. Kennedy, who was a Democrat.
I thought Eisenhower was president.
Eisenhower was not president.
Well, Eisenhower was president when we sent the first advisors in 59.
See, I told you.
Oh, what do you mean, see, I told you? Kennedy escalated it.
Kennedy and Johnson until 68.
Well, I don't know. Democrats are against war.
You don't know.
We're against war.
And that's your problem.
Your problem is you
don't know anything, but you're spewing rhetoric out of your pie hole when you don't know what you're talking about. That's your problem.
You're talking about my wife's hole.
Yeah, I am talking about your wife.
You know something? Until a boy whose eyes, nose, and mouth are within a square inch of each other looks at you, then you don't know what you're talking about.
You know what?
Oh my
God. If he looks at you, take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
And you move on.
Well, I don't want icky men looking at me. I want good, you know.
Icky men? Hey, Doug, thank you. I got to move on. Thank you. 1-800-449.
Turn it up, Steve.
Yeah, this is good.
What are you guys watching?
Give me Olympic results.
1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Lee. Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how you doing today?
Fine.
All right, look, if they could turn their TV down, because I can't hear anything except their TV.
I can hear you, sorry.
Okay. Ma'am,
you need to turn it down because I can't hear.
I was a United States Marine, and I'm very proud of that fact.
Where?
Okay.
Whereabouts?
Where was I?
Yeah.
When I was stateside, I was Cherry Point. I was in Desert Ship Storm.
Cherry Point?
And I was Cherry Point, North Carolina is where I was stationed when I was United States Marine.
How come they put our fighting men in a place like that?
Say again, please?
Why did they put our fighting men in a place like that?
Why would they put Marines in a place called Cherry Point? I don't understand.
It is a major air base on the East Coast.
Yeah, but I don't understand the name.
What difference does it make? It's where they put them.
Oh, geez.
It's called Cherry Point, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes it sound like the cherry.
Oh, for God's sake. Go ahead, Lee.
All right, we're not going to get into that, okay? I'm very proud of the fact that I was United States Marine.
Okay, hold on a minute. Listen, Phil, exactly what I was talking about is happening right now. The Sonelia boy is outside, and he looked at me. I was going into my Escalade. I was getting some groceries.
So he looked at you. What did he do?
I bent over to get something.
Ma'am, I don't know how old you are. I don't know what you look like. Okay, but if you are a sex woman, I look at women all day long.
Give him a carrot dipped in peanut butter. It'll get rid of it.
Again, please?
I told my husband to give the boy a carrot dipped in peanut butter. It'll shoo him away.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, okay? My brother, who is a very high-ranking person, I can't say his name, I can't say the company.
Is he pan-faced?
In California.
What difference does it make if his brother's pan-faced?
It would be impressive if he made it up that high in business.
Okay. So if somebody's got a physical deformity, they're not worth anything in this country. Is that what y'all are saying?
Hold on for a minute.
Gagne
gave up another two-run home run.
Will you get out of here?
Turn the TV set down.
Okay,
Gagne gave
you.
Up another two-run shot, and they're watching Al Jazeera?
Okay.
Well, Lee, we do have to take a break on our
yeah,
show. I appreciate
I'm not
your comments. No, you're very. It's very fine, and I think your intelligent comment.
Are you saying I'm stupid?
Well, how did you get back on?
Steve, hook a Snickers bar in a string and see if that boy will follow you down the street, will you? We got to get rid of this Amelia boy.
I'm getting rid of him, Lee. Thank you very much. Hey, Gagne gave up another two-run shot. 1-800-449-8686, Bobby and Steve Dooley. Just as a personal comment on our fighting men and women in Iraq, I couldn't love a group of people more than I do those guys, and they're the very best we got. You guys are doing the right thing. The world will soon recognize that you are. And I would like to say at this time that...
Oh, look at that. The pan-faced boy's going after the Richardson woman.
Would you hang up on her? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Sanis from our show last night, a little flashback. He thinks high school car washes are sexual.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi. You know, I'm positively amazed at the conclusion this gentleman has reached based on a very small, ridiculous, random sample here. But, you know, you're setting up a predatory relationship. You're making all girls assume that men are going to be rude and lascivious every time they come encounter with them. The truth is that these girls are children, and the man that you're talking about is an adult, and he has an obligation to know better.
Well, you have to understand, Major Newton's a grandfather, Korean War veteran.
Well, he should and be ashamed of himself that he doesn't know better how to react to a young girl. And let me tell you what. If you want to know when I was a young girl, and let me tell you what, men will find any and every excuse.
What's she doing with that squeegee? Hold on.
Men will find any and every excuse to find you attractive in any situation that you're in.
Roger.
A young girl at any time has to be aware of that.
All right, what are you supposed to say, Andre? You see the girls, you know, a lot of these gals putting the hose down their pants, using their rear ends to dry the hood. What's that all about?
Excuse me, you're talking about a person who must have a problem going to a basketball game and watching the halftime show.
Now, are you telling me that it's perfectly okay for a high school student?
Car wash, sir. They don't put the hoses down their pants.
There's a possibility they might.
A car wash for a high school charity. There are parents there.
Yeah.
Often.
All right, now I want to ask Jay a question. This lady's made a point. You girls are not doing that, and there are parents there.
Phil, what if the girl starts putting the hose down her pants? What if she starts drying the hood off with her rear end and this kind of prurient behavior? Then what are you going to say to me? See, that's what we're trying to do. We're interdicting. We are trying a prophylactic or preventative measure.
No, are you going to break up every high school basketball halftime show? Have you seen them dance lately at a high school basketball
Ma'am, I can tell you right now, if I see any young lady putting a garden hose into her slacks...
That's a lot more lascivious than washing a car, sir.
Where have you observed this, ma'am? Where have you observed this? Because if you have observed this and you've failed to report this to the police, we've got a serious question.
Report it to the police? You could go to any... Have you watched a high school
mom with cheerleading
squad dancing at halftime?
Cheerleading is a sport. Car wash is not a sport. And I see in no book and in no NCAA regulation where you're allowed to dry off a guy's hood with your
rear end. Okay, first of all, we're talking about high school, not NCAA.
I saw two of these gals in their Daisy Duke shorts getting their hair all wet and flipping it aroundsy like you do at one of these strip places out in the desert.
Have you seen the latest Britney Spears video, sir? Let me tell you what. If a man can't handle himself around a young lady, period, then he shouldn't be around young ladies.
Well, ma'am,
it's not a girl's obligation to assume that every single man who comes across her is going to want to have rude sex with her.
All right, Andrea,
obligation.
I understand. I want to say one thing. When Major Elvis Newton came out of that motel room and he'd given that high school senior a $20 bill, he had tears in his eyes.
It's one, you know what, you're talking about one high school girl, and you're talking about a man who ought to seek counseling. That's what you're talking about.
Counseling? He said that was the best 3 hours he ever spent.
Help. You're talking about a man who needs help, sir.
Yeah, he needs help.
He knew right from wrong, and he chose wrong.
He needs help.
That's not that girl's fault.
He needs help getting ones from a $100 bill. That's the help he needs. Come on.
Are you
what kind of a smart-ass answer is that?
You don't think he did anything wrong? You're using the Nuremberg?
Well, the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You don't get to say that he knew right from wrong.
Yeah, he knew right from wrong, and he said that was the best.
He had an obligation to do the right thing, and he did the wrong thing.
No, he knew right from wrong. He said the right thing was spending the 3 hours in that motel. The wrong thing was taking his wife's car to get it washed.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
On the site, there's Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go to our souvenir shop at our website, www.philhendryshow.com. I'm going to pick up some Jay Santos gear. You can also get Ted's Beverly Hills gear there. And Ted's going to be with us tomorrow night at, I think, 7 o'clock. Ted Bell. Coming up next, Lloyd Bonafide, Korean War veteran. And he's got a problem. He's got a problem also, only this time he's got a problem with Senator Kerry, not President Bush. We'll hear from Lloyd Bonafide coming up on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So, Lloyd, go ahead, man. You were talking about your experiences in the war, because I know that Senator Kerry, we have Lloyd Bonafide with us, by the way, folks. We've been talking about Senator Kerry's service in Vietnam and the contention that many people... I don't personally think the man served dishonorably at all.
Well, sir, you can think what you want. I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought proudly for my country. And John Kerry went to Vietnam... apparently, by all press reports, he did not fight proudly for his country, and there's nothing I can do about that. But my grandson is important to me, and his father, the man that my daughter married, is very liberal, and so I have the extra difficult duty of trying to get this boy thinking right, given what his father is.
And well, when you say given what his father is liberal, is that it?
His father is one of these Silicon Valley liberals, and he born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and I will tell you that you can do what you want. I fought proudly for my country, and when I see the stars and stripes,
let me jump in here.
No, I want to make the point, Phil, if I could. When I see the stars and stripes against a beautiful afternoon sky in the summer, I feel very proud. And I do not begrudge a man his own opinion, but when you put your hands on my grandson, and you get him thinking like this Kerry, who came back to our country, and in my opinion, and forgive my language, urinated all over the American flag, to me that is wrong.
All right, this is a family matter, though. You're talking about a...
No, this is not a family. This is an American matter. As a veteran... Here's where the problem comes into play. My grandson has been with us this past week because my daughter and this guy she married are having an anniversary trip. So I took Ryan and a buddy of his.
Is this Caleb boy you're telling me about?
It's the Jorgensen boy, yes.
Okay.
The young man is friends with my son. And I took them to the Save-On drugstore here to get the school supplies. And I had a prescription to pick up.
All right.
And as we were pulling into the parking lot there, I noticed the Jorgensen boy and Ryan both are holding their backpacks. And I swear before the Savior Jesus Christ that they had Carry for President stickers on their backpacks. And like I said, you can vote for who you want. You can have your opinion. But I fought for this country in Korea, and my own grandson is in my car with a John Kerry sticker. And
but you do not like Kerry because of what you perceive to be his dishonorable service in Vietnam.
Why would I like a man who came back to America and basically defecated on the American flag with some of the...
Can we watch the way we describe things, sir?
Sir, I will tell you, why would I want to come back and why would I want to support... And you know,
but the seriousness of what could have happened to you, the seriousness...
Well, the seriousness of what our guys went through in Korea, they put you in a 3x5 box in the sun, these Chinese. And
but there were witnesses who saw you binding your grandson and this other boy's hands and feet. Okay, and they also say you put a gag on both of them. Now, that's a serious, in this country, in this day and age, that's called child abuse.
That's not child abuse, sir. That was a grandfather trying to extricate his grandson from the liberal influence of a father, my so-called son-in-law, and I wouldn't go across the street to you know what, on him if he was on fire. I am not a fan of his.
Mr. Bonafide, I want to get to the real problem here. The problem is that you bound and gagged your son and his friend and put them into the trunk of your car when you were in the parking lot of that Save-On.
If I could finish, because I was there, I knew what happened.
Are you denying that you did that?
If I could finish, I was there, I knew what happened.
Go ahead, sir.
The men who were taken prisoner by the Chinese...
All right, this is off the point.
No, sir, it is not. The men who were taken prisoner by the Chinese... And you could go down to Monterey Park right now, and all the Chinamen down there are all smiles. And this generation doesn't know that. The same Chinaman that'll serve you with a big smile on his face, the chop suey or the chicken chow mein, or your choice, the chicken... He's the same Chinaman that was holding a Russian Kalashnikov to the back of my buddy's heads. And I want my grandson to appreciate that.
So you bind and gag him, put him in the trunk of your car.
I was trying to give these two boys an appreciation for what our soldiers are going to go through if we elect this Kerry, who came home from Vietnam, dropped into a full squat, and squeezed one out of...
All right, I do not want you to describe things that way, sir. Let me put the gentleman on hold for a moment. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And, of course, we're getting opinions from all sectors of society on the upcoming elections. This gentleman is a Korean War veteran. An interesting angle here. He has his grandson and his grandson's friend with him in the car as they're going off to get school supplies. And he notices a Kerry bumper sticker on the kids' backpacks. Witnesses say he bound both boys at the hands and feet, and put them in the trunk of the car. Mr. Bonafide?
And for you to say...
Mr. Bonafide, I had you on hold that whole time. I need to ask you a question.
Well, you can put me on hold...
I need to ask you a question. Is all of this what you did to your son and what you did to your son's friend because of what happened to American prisoners of war in Korea?
Let me tell you what. What the American prisoners of war went through in Korea... John Kerry is rubbing his hands together, and he's, boy, wait till I get my hands on the soldiers today, because that's what is...
You don't honestly believe that. Mr. Kerry served in Vietnam with honor. It is a part of the record.
That's not... I don't know what you're talking... The guys that were on the quick boats with him say that he is a lying piece of garbage.
No, they do not, sir. The guys that were on the boats with him say that the man served honorably. The gentlemen that were not on the boats with him are the ones that are criticizing him.
Well, he came back to America and said all American soldiers were butchered up. And I can tell you now, I will not... You can vote for who you want, but my grandson is my business.
Well, don't you think that boy has a father?
My son-in-law...
That boy's father is your son-in-law. That boy's father has the main responsibility for the care of that boy, you know, and...
Well, he's not turning my son, my grandson, into one of these guys that'll come back from a war, drop into a full military squat over their own flag, and you don't want me to say, but... You know, pinch one off.
Please. You're a veteran, and you have respect for your country. Have respect for my audience.
Sir.
No, have respect for my audience.
Sir, I have fought for this country. And my grandson had a John Kerry sticker on his backpack. And I love that boy so much that I tied him with his hands and his feet and his friend, and I put him in the trunk of my car so they'd know what my buddies went through.
What did the Caleb boys' parents say?
I couldn't give a sweet Jesus.
What did the Caleb boys' parents say? Now, what about someone else?
You get into my car with a Kerry sticker. That boy should have given me full knowledge ahead of time that he had a Kerry bumper sticker on his backpack. At which time I would have said, you know what? You could get the hell off my property.
You wouldn't have taken him to the Save-On for school supplies.
No, I wouldn't have given him a ride across the street to the gates of hell. That's how I feel about that. And I'll tell you what the Jorgensen parents said to me. The father, who is a real, you know, I want to say the word, you won't let me, he's a sissy boy. And I said, I taught that boy something. The father, he gave me a look and shook my hand.
He shook your hand?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe you.
Sir, he shook my hand for teaching his boy a lesson.
So let me ask you a question before we take a break here, and I'll give the number out, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is a Korean War veteran. What did you do, sir, when you came back from Korea?
I started a heating and plumbing. I went to work for the Paulitz brothers in Alhambra, and I bought their business in 1957, which was a heating and plumbing business. And I just retired in the mid-1995. And this country has been wonderful to me, but I'm not one of these guys who talks about how wonderful America is. I was wonderful to America. That's what I say. People say, aren't you glad you live in this country? Aren't you glad that I allow you to live in this country because of what I did for this country?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This man's loathing of John Kerry as a Korean War veteran extends to taking his grandson and a friend of his, gagging them, binding their hands and feet, and throwing them to the trunk of his car to let them know what the Chinese put Korean prisoners of war through. He said he does not want anybody in his car with a John Kerry bumper sticker on their backpack, which is what this young man, this Caleb Jorgensen, I think is the kid's name, had on his backpack, as did his son. And the other thing that's interesting about this, he doesn't get along with his son-in-law, obviously. He calls his son-in-law a Silicon Valley liberal. 1-800-449-8686. Where do grandparents' rights begin, or where do grandparents' rights end and the rights of parents begin? 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Survivor Compton. The Phil Henry Show is back.
What is that, sir? I'm sorry?
Because these young men think it's funny to do that.
Well, you're talking... I'm on the line here with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, a retired businessman. You were taking your son and a friend of his to get back-to-school supplies, right?
Yes. I promised Kathleen, who's my daughter, I said, well, I'll take the boys because my wife had... We both had Ryan for the week. And we love our grandson very much. Please don't understand that.
Well, I don't take that to mean anything. Of course you do.
And but they got into the... We've got a brand new Windstar. It's a 36-foot recreational vehicle, and they went in, and they... you know, they're farting in it, and I said to them that gets into the leather of the seats and so on. But I wasn't angry until they showed me these Kerry stickers. And that's when I grabbed the Jorgensen kid by the hair, and I said, let me tell you something right now.
And you didn't tell me you grabbed this boy by the hair.
Well, I'm telling you now, sir, I grabbed the young man by the hair. He got into my vehicle with a Jerry sticker.
What did you say to this boy?
I said, let me say something to you. You got into my car with a bumper sticker of a man who is the worst piece of garbage to ever run for president in the history of this country. John Kerry is a...
This is an emotional topic for you.
You better believe it. I left a lot of buddies in Korea.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I have one thing to say to this gentleman. I'm sure he served our country admirably, but here's one thing
you
this gentleman must understand. We appreciate what you did, sir, but you have no right to take those children's rights away from them when they haven't even decided at what point they're basically going to vote at some point. You're destroying and diminishing anything that these kids could ever want to grow up to be and vote for.
I've got to save my boy from this father of his.
You are not the savior, sir.
I beg pardon?
Those children haven't even grown up to decide who they want to vote for at some point.
If that's the case.
You are an adult. You are a parent, a grandparent. You have no right to misuse those children.
Sure,
give them the opportunity to decide once they get to the age
if they haven't
who they want to vote for.
Then why do they have a carry sticker on their backpack if they haven't decided? And if they're going to put a carry sticker on their backpack, they better get ready for what for.
Because you are an adult, sir.
This never would have happened.
You are not thinking rationally like an adult. You are not even giving these kids an opportunity.
Come on.
To decide.
Do you know that young men who were 18, 19 years old were put in these sweat boxes by the Chinese? These guys didn't go through a GD thing. And I'll tell you something else. This
sir,
never
there
would have happened.
Millions of people who have gone through atrocity.
If my daughter hadn't married that imbecile that she's married to, the only reason she married that piece of garbage is because it's some sort of payback for me not being able to buy her a new car when she was 16. I told her that
it's
to GD walk.
Son-in-law, and not about your daughter.
Oh, yes, sir, it is.
You are distorting the electoral process with these children. Give them a chance to grow up and decide who it is they want to vote for and what the people are all about.
What?
If that happened, and I don't know that it happened, it was years and years ago.
Why would you...
The man is probably somewhere else, and I'm not in defense of him. I'm in defense of these children. What you did was wrong.
Okay. You know something? That moron that my daughter married, I got to get him away from my grandson. Otherwise, my grandson's going to grow up to be one of these queers that you see on television,
sir,
getting their hair redone.
I'm listening to what you're saying these children, and you're taking it into the family.
Yeah.
I can only imagine you being in a business, and ethnically, who did you serve in a business? I hope it wasn't just your war buddies, and all due respect to them. I am a black man, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and I can feel the prejudice in your soul.
You know something, buddy? I went to war with black and Jewish boys, and for you to say something like that, if you were standing in front of me right now, I'd put you on your back.
Of your grandson.
I'd put you right
I'm
on your back for what you
said. Prejudice in your own family.
The prejudice? This moron that might, just because he's Chinese, you think that I don't like him for that. It's
we
because...
Are you telling me that...
Sir, so there you go.
What are you talking about? But, hey... You'd be prejudiced, too, if a Chinaman stuck you in a box.
Sir, let me tell you something.
My daughter has always had a thing about me because I wasn't what they call a groomy dad.
In the military for the last 6 months. So don't think I don't stand here and feel what you're saying.
She married a dirtbag on purpose.
Guess what?
He poisoned my son with his liberal ideas.
Sir.
All right, gentlemen.
I spend every day worried about appreciate what she's doing for this country. Do you understand me?
Sir, you called me a bigot.
2004.
Let it go. Just because I don't like Chinamen, you call me a bigot.
Well, calling them Chinamen is kind of an antiquated, at the very least, phrase. Thank you very much, Warren, for your call.
Well, this guy's trying to tell me what for.
Let's go over here to John. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
You know, my grandfather served in Korea. My father served in Vietnam. You know, if I had a John Kerry bumper sticker on my backpack, or, you know, any political bumper sticker of per se on my backpack when I was, you know, still in school, my grandfather or my father would not have tied me up and threw me in a trunk. Now, my father spent 6.5 months in a Viet Cong prison camp.
They didn't have Viet Cong prison camps. They had North Vietnamese prison camps. So I think what you're saying is a load of old hooey, and you just got on the radio show to pretend like your dad did something, and your dad probably clerked at a bowling alley.
Book.
I can tell you,
wait a second, okay?
My father was in Vietnam from 1967 to 1969.
Why was he there?
He was wounded three times.
Why did he go back if he was wounded?
Because he wanted to serve his country.
I'll tell you why he went back. He probably wanted some of that sweet tang they got that.
Come on, have some respect for this guy. You want respect for yourself, don't you?
I don't doubt what you did in Korea, and I appreciate what you did serving our country. I thank you very much for that. But I don't think you should have tied your grandson up and threw him in the trunk of a car that was going to teach him anything.
Let's get down to the nut cutting. Are you part Chinese?
Me? No, sir, I'm not.
Come on, let's get right down to the nut cutting of it. Have you had any zipper in you?
Would you watch your language, please?
Sir, that is racist.
You know, I could almost hear your voice crack when you say that.
Well, that is racist.
All right.
Why would you say something like that?
Because you sound like a Chinaman.
Put him on hold, will you? Korean War veteran Lloyd Bonafi on why he will not allow a Kerry bumper sticker on his grandson's backpack. His liberal son-in-law is ruining his family. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
There's a longtime sponsor of the Phil Henry Show. I gotta tell you something. He gets some of the craziest guests. I tell you, Phil, where's he gonna get? Where's he gonna pull out of his rear end next? Great show.
Here at Ted's, we wanna put our meat in your.
So, Ted Bell will be with us tomorrow. How are you doing, Ted?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Enjoying your program this evening, as always. And we're going to be looking a little bit more at the election tomorrow night when I come on with you. From the standpoint of Senator Kerry and President Bush and what it is these two guys are talking about, I don't think anybody knows what they're talking about. And I'm going to try to clarify that a little bit.
Well, what do you mean that no one knows what they're talking about? You mean they're just not being clear?
No one knows what they're talking about. I see Bush is up in the polls and Kerry and everything. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing that is up. Business is up at Ted's of Beverly Hills. When you come in, suggest to your server that you'd like the onion loaf. And you can start out with a Ted, which, of course, is the rum drink. It is a Captain Morgan's and Coke. It's called a Ted. I originated it. And then you can move on to a delicious porterhouse steak or perhaps whatever, boned T-bones. Come on out to Ted's. And
well, are we doing a commercial here?
I beg your pardon?
Are we doing a commercial? I want to ask you what's going to be on the show tomorrow night.
Well, we're going to talk about, the whole, I don't get it, you know. Everything's nuts. But one thing that isn't nuts is the wonderful food that you're going to.
What are we doing here, a commercial?
Did you just raise your voice to me?
Ted?
No, hold on. Did you just raise your voice to me? I'm going to tell you something, Phil. I put thousands of dollars into your show every year.
Ted, I didn't mean to raise my voice.
No. You just humiliated me in front of your listeners. Now, I'm coming on your show tomorrow night, and I'll talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. And you know what? You're going to like it. You want to know why? Because I'm Ted Bell. I'm Ted, but not you. Are you Ted Bell?
Ted, I apologize.
Yeah?
I apologize for raising my voice.
No, but are you Ted Bell?
No, I am not Ted Bell.
I'm Ted Bell. Who's Ted Bell?
You are.
I am. I'm Ted Bell. You raise your voice to me. Advertising gets pulled. Money goes away. No revenue. No revenue base. Clear Channel starts looking at your show as a lost effort. And guess what? Your contract isn't renewed. Now, isn't that true?
I don't want to talk about...
Isn't that true?
Yes, it is true.
Play the commercial again. I'd like to hear it. Oh, yeah.
Ted's of Beverly.
I hate this guy.
Steakhouse, come on down.
I just put Phil Henry in his place, and I'll put you in your place, too. A corner booth. That's right, at 10th and Beverly Hills. Bring the family on in. We'll get everybody. I don't care how fat your wife is, how big your in-laws are. They're going to love the food, man. No thrombosis. Hey, please have a heart attack in the parking lot, not at our bar.
So, anyway, Ted, you'll be on the show tomorrow night.
That's right. It's the whole world's kind of goofy, Bill. It's just... Bye.
Oh, man, I hate him. God, I hate him. Ted Bell on our show tomorrow night on The Phil Henry Show. Time now for Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. From Athens, Greece comes Jeff Dowder. And, Jeffrey, how are you doing? Exciting, the American women winning the gold medal, huh?
If you know it or not, but I got busted outside the, I got right outside the Pappas Athletic Arena last night. So I wasn't able to see anything. I got busted.
What do you mean you got busted? Turn the music off, will you, bud?
All right.
What do you mean you got busted?
I got busted selling to an undercover cop.
What were you selling?
Dope.
Why am I hearing about this now?
I called, your cell phone wasn't on.
What do you mean my cell phone wasn't on, man? Don't you have other contact numbers?
I had your cell phone number. They only give you one phone call. Even in Greece, I thought maybe they'd give you two phone calls in Greece. They'd give you the same number that they give you in America, only one. So I didn't see no events. I got busted.
You got busted. How is it that you're out?
John Swenson with NBC, he went my bail.
John Swenson with NBC went your bail? How much was it?
I don't know. He said it'd come down to like 400, 500 American.
You got busted for selling dope. What the hell are you doing selling dope? What are you doing selling marijuana in the first place?
Hold on, I gotta turn the street back on. I don't know. I saw an opportunity. I just brought some over with me.
So you didn't see anything? Any of the events? Nothing?
No, I didn't. This is Jeff Dowder in Athens. On account I got busted for dope, I didn't see nothing, so I can't tell you about it. I'll see you next week.
What an utter turd to leave me in the lurch like that. He got popped so he didn't see anything? So sorry about the Olympic thoughts, but then again, his Olympic thoughts. What was it last night?
The man who won the 1,500 meters was so hungry he ate part of the track.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what we get. Either he's selling it or he's smoking it. One way or another, man, I ain't getting anything out of this guy. Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts, brought to you by Quaker Oats. 1-800-449-8686 on The Phil Henry Show. We remind you our website is www.philhenryshow.com. Additionally, you can go to our souvenir shop and pick up some of the ever-so-peachy, neat, keen souvenirs that we have there, including the Steve Bozell for President shirt. Steve Bozell, 2004, vote for me or I will sue you. Coming up, Art Bell will be joining us in just a couple of minutes, along with General Johnson Jameson. And this is probably the most dangerous undertaking General Jameson has ever undertook. Be coming up in a moment here on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tats of Beverly. I'm Art Bell, and there seems to be a malfunction. They are playing the Teds of Beverly Hills song. Ross, what's going on?
I have no idea, Art. I'm just waiting to do my announcing.
All right. We do have a malfunction. I thought we had Dancing Queen, which, as you know, is the official music of the Art Bell and Coast to Coast program, but we did not have it queued up. I don't know if it's because of that retard engineer of Phil Henry's, Mr. Dickman, or if there is something more nefarious going on. And so we will just have to read the sign language and the lips of Mr. Dickman. Mr. Dickman, I certainly don't mind you speaking to me as much as Mr. Henry does,
And,
I don't know where it is. I'm scared.
Just go ahead and hit it if you have it now.
And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Woo!
West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-555-5551. In Swaziland, 555-5552. No, 4. Over the Appalachian Plain, 555-5559. And across the Marianas Trench, 555-5555-5. And in Calgary, Alberta, 5. And now, here is Art Bell.
Thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and a very good evening to each and every one of you across the Marianas Trench, those of you deep-sea diving the wrecks off the coast of Vietnam, and for those of you engaged in extra, almost preternatural acts above the high and frozen wastes of the Himalayas, a very good evening. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and this evening, General Johnson Jameson will join us as he embarks upon perhaps his most dangerous mission ever. It could kill him. But first, this from Peenemann Enterprises. When the darkness comes and the lava flows, when the call of a distant wolf tells you the rapture has arrived, don't be caught meeting Jesus in anything other than the Luigi Minnelli sports jacket with matching ascot and slip-ons. Yes, for the man on the go or the man going to hell, the new Luigi Minnelli sports jacket and Luigi Minnelli yachting windbreaker tells the entire hereafter, here I am. So go to the devil in style with slacks, sweaters, dickies, slip-ons, and turtlenecks from Luigi Minnelli.
Now in the Sherman Oaks Galleria.
New from Peenemann Enterprises. Joining us from his bunker complex, beneath the Saskatchewan crust is General Johnson Jameson. General Jameson, I know there is trepidation there at your bunker complex. You are about to embark on Jameson 3, and you've named the spaceship after yourself, right?
That is correct, Art.
And was there a Jameson 1 and 2?
There was the General Johnson Jameson 1, which burned up on a launching pad fire. There was the General Johnson Jameson 2 that was lost in the void of our last trip. Fortunately, I wasn't on that craft, but unfortunately, others who I loved very dearly were, and they've been lost. And I will tell you how that happened as we embark on. I'm very nervous. I'm very frightened.
Tonight, General Jameson, you are going to shrink yourself using the gamma globulin goblin ray. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. I'm using the goblin juice. Are you laughing?
No, not at all.
The goblin juice that I developed, as you know, Art, can shrink me down to the size of a button. And we are going to attempt to solve one of the great mysteries of life.
Now, what exactly are you going to do?
We are going to try to travel up Russell Crowe's rear end and kill the bug that's up there that keeps him from ever smiling or laughing.
That is amazing.
That is correct. We're going to try to kill the bug up Russell Crowe's ass.
All right. Now, trying to get Russell Crowe to smile, he doesn't smile, does he?
He never smiles or laughs. So we're going to go up there and kill it. that's the gag. So.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Thank you. I'm glad you approve.
So, General Jameson, this is going to be frightening. What do you need to take with you?
Probably a number of different kinds of laser beams and x-rays and jazz like that. Who knows, man? I mean, no one's ever done this before.
Well, what happened to Jameson 2?
Well, we were trying to kill the bug up Mia Farrow's ass, and that just...
All right, so in other words...
Yeah, we've been trying to... So, I don't know. We're going to try and do this, and may God help us.
All right, General Jameson. We are all waiting with bated breath as General Johnson Jameson prepares there from his launching pad in the greater Saskatchewan crust. General Jameson, are you ready to blast off?
I'm ready. Count it down, Billy.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, shoot.
What happened?
Flat tire. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Art.
You really screwed the pooch on that one, didn't you, General?
I'm terribly sorry. I need to.
Well, you messed it all up. Let's try it again.
All right, Billy, let's try it again. Art wants to shoot for one more, so maybe we can try this. I don't know. I'm going to try and use a different kind of fuel. Go ahead, Billy, do it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition, blast off.
No, it's not working.
Now, you're having some problems, aren't you?
I am having problems. We'll killing the bug up Russell Crowe's rear end, it'll have to keep for another day.
Why is Russell Crowe completely humorless? What happened to him that he can't laugh or even smile when photographers take his picture? The state of permanent humorlessness affects many actors in Hollywood. Next week on Coast to Coast, we'll try to solve this dilemma as we continue our explorations into the unknown.
Hold on a minute. Are you going off the air?
Yes, I am.
I want to try it one more time.
All right.
I know I can do this. Billy, I want you to count me down this time. Now, when I say count, go ahead, do it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes! Hey, Mr. Bell? Mr. Bell?
Yes, Billy.
He's off.
Will you quit messing with the music?
This has been Coast to Coast.
Friday night and the lights are low.
Now, of course, I have a choice at this point in the program. Every time we do Art Bell, we can continue on with some other programming material, or we can just listen. Ah, screw it. Now, so that was Art Bell, and how about that? So they just fired General Johnson Jameson off up Russell Crowe's butt out of a shotgun. Yeah, why doesn't that cat smile? Well, we'll find out. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Coming up tomorrow night, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'd like to thank my guests this evening, Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra and Bonafide's Heating and Plumbing, Korean War veteran. Also like to thank Bobby and Steve Dooley for their participation in our roundtable discussion this evening as well, and Jeff Dowder for his reports from Athens. I do apologize to our audience. Mr. Dowder was arrested last night for possession of a controlled substance in Athens by Greek police and was unable to report on some of the events from last evening. Also, we would like to thank Chaz Workman for his Clubfoot dance workshop, which I was forced into by David G. Hall. And also, of course, the gentleman and his lady friend who had the wine tasting. What was that guy's name?
Gene and Mary Templeton.
Oh, Gene and Mary Templeton. And apparently they both have a severe overbite, so she, like, dropped an entire case of Beaujolais on the floor. And now, and Hal and Viola on teen peer pressure, and oh, yeah, they stalled their plane out again, so they're probably dead somewhere in the California aqueduct. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. And yes?
What do you mean, force you into it?
Do you gotta come on every time?
No, I didn't force you into anything. You gladly had that guy on.
I'm not gonna have on a guy with a club foot doing ballroom dancing. What makes you think that cat's gonna be in the Olympics anyway?
I thought it was very graceful.
Graceful? Sounded like the guy was putting a mallet into a signpost. Sounded like he was making a fence. And you know how much that floor cost?
All right, so he splitted it up a little bit.
Anyway, our web address, www.philhenryshow.com, and when you're there, go to our souvenir shop. Pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for 2003. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. Boy, we're about ready to come out with our 2004. We're going to have to start putting that together. We not only have to put that together, we're going to have to get some personal appearances going, man, so we can get it sold for our friends at My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Please do go to the website and pick up our CD, and if you don't want to pick up the CD, you can always send money off to My Friend's Place. They do brilliant work working with kids that are basically thrown out of their house. They have nowhere to go, and they're living out on the streets of Hollywood, California, and they're from all over the country, and they need to get their lives redirected. The people at My Friend's Place do that, and we sell our CD, and 100% of the money that we make goes to the guys at My Friend's Place. So go to our website and check out our Best Of CD, or go to homelessyouth.org and talk to the folks from My Friend's Place. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you tomorrow night with Ted Bell.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.